Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network, this is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. And as always, you can get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Brandon Cooks, Cowboys wide receiver, will be chatting up with us coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific today. You have the first round of the PGA Championship underway, where Xander Schauffele is not only your leader at 9-under, shooting a 62, that is now a course record at Valhalla, and also Xander Schauffele now has two of the four total 62s, the lowest score ever in major championship history for an individual round. Some other big-time names and some storylines. Rory McIlroy, fresh off filing for his divorce. Through round one, he is 5-under, so a very good start for Rory McIlroy. Tony Finau is 6-under. He's currently tied for second. Brooks Koepka, who has won 3 PGA championships and is your reigning champion, he is 4-under, shooting a 67 today. You do have Cameron Smith, Victor Hovland, Max Homa, all tied for 9th right now. Bryson DeChambeau, also tied for 9th right now. All those gentlemen shooting a 68 today. Justin Thomas, 2-under. He is through. Keegan Bradley, 2-under. He's through. Spieth is through with the 69, 2-under as well. Scottie Scheffler, we all know what he did at the Masters. Yeah, he's off to a pretty damn good start. Only two holes in, he's 2-under. He parred the second, so that means he opened up the tournament with an eagle, as he did hole out on his first hole of the day to get an eagle. So that's some of the storylines, obviously, from the PGA Championship. Hideki Matsuyama, Masters champion in the PGA Championship. He is 1-under today. And Tiger, if I didn't say so, I don't think I mentioned Tiger a few moments ago, but if I didn't, I apologize. Tiger is through round one, as he did shoot a 72 today. So that puts him 1-over. For the tournament, Tommy Fleetwood also 1-over as well. We'll get you all the updates throughout the day, as Pat Boyle is always good on the updates. He will be here with golf. He's watching tennis today. You know, I'm sitting in the newsroom. I go, what channel's the golf on? Because I know that's always tough to find on the early rounds of a major championship, and it's always confusing. And he goes, I don't know. I'm watching tennis. I'm like, why are you watching tennis right now? And I know Pat goes to like every day of the U.S. Open in the summer, and he went out of his way to tell me that he'll be doing that once again. So when I thought of big sport fan Pat Boyle, I have seen all of his big-time posts that he'll put on, going nuts, screaming at a baseball game, hockey game, basketball games, and just going crazy, football games. Boyle does a very good job with the pronunciations, which is very, very, very important, especially when you're an update anchor. Some people just butcher it and mess it all up. But Boyle does an excellent job when it comes to tennis and then also golf. So whole lot to do today. Obviously, we will talk about the NFL schedule release, because I know that that does obviously impact many people, even though the season doesn't start until September. But I need to start with the NBA last night. And it really just shows what this postseason is about. Anytime you think a team is starting to gain momentum and take momentum in a series, the other team snatches it away. Like, you look at Knicks and Pacers. The Knicks are up 2-0. Then the Pacers take two. People didn't think the Knicks were going to win Game 5. They win Game 5 by 30 points. You had the Timberwolves in Denver up 2-0. Then they go back to their home court. They lose both, and then they lose Game 5. And now they're on the verge of elimination tonight for a crucial Game 6 with the Nuggets up 3-2. But this Oklahoma City Mavericks series, this is the one where I just throw my hands up in the air and I have no clue how this is going to conclude. I really don't. Like, the Knicks, they're the better team than the Pacers. The Knicks just aren't healthy and they're still up 3-2. Yes, it is stunning that the Timberwolves did not find a way to win one game on their home court and split games 3 and 4, but it is the defending champs, and we're seeing an all-time great player in Nikola Jokic just show why he's an all-time great player after winning his third MVP, winning a championship, winning a finals MVP from a year ago. But this Thunder-Mavs series, I have no feel on it. Like, going into the series, I thought the Mavericks were going to win this series. But after you had Game 4 be a game where the way that it ended, it felt like we should have saw the Mavericks win, and then they lose. And then this series go 2-2 back to OKC last night where the Mavericks win. I started to think in a best of three series, especially when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is healthy and Luka Doncic is not, I thought that in now a best of three series, which going into tonight, last night, it was going to then swing in favor with the momentum going to Oklahoma City. But last night, the Mavericks in OKC were by far and away the better team. And Luka Doncic, who's dealing with like 9,000 injuries, he had a great game. 31 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, and it puts him in elite company because Luka Doncic has now 3 30-point triple doubles of his postseason career. And it ties him for the second most such games by a player aged 25 or younger. Oscar Robertson had 7, LeBron and Luka with 3, and then Russell Westbrook with 2. Think about that. I know it's like a bizarre stat because it's specifically worded 25 or under, but Luka Doncic, he's the third, that's his third 30-point triple-double of his postseason career, and that ties him for second most all time in such games by a player age 25 or younger. You know, when you're on a list with Oscar Robertson and LeBron James, that's pretty damn special. And we all know what Luka is capable of. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's the apex for this Mavericks team? Because I know he didn't play a good game last night, but Kyrie Irving, it's always, when is he going to show up? And when is he going to bail on the team? For the most part this year, Kyrie's been pretty locked in with the Mavericks. Luka Doncic has to stay healthy after game one. I didn't think, like, I heard Tim Legler say it on ESPN, and I fully agreed with him. I don't know how much jump and how much leverage Luka Doncic was going to have really the rest of this series, because they lost that game one, and he looked shot. And then they win games 2 and 3, then they lose game 4, and then they win game 5. And now they're one win away from going to the conference finals. And in a league that's dynamic duos, it's tough to find a much better dynamic duo than Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. It's very tough. Like, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. Jamal Murray's dealing with injuries. But I think that's a great duo. You have Jaylen Brown as the Robin, and then Batman is Jason Tatum. The Knicks don't have a dynamic duo. The Pacers don't really have a dynamic duo that's going to compare with the others. So, yeah, obviously, with the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, and I guess you'll say Karl Anthony Towns. But you go through this, it's like in a year where there's no super team, in an era the last few years where it's all dynamic duos, like, this is a Mavericks team that I don't look at them and think they'll be going to the NBA Finals. You know, I'm assuming that Denver is going to find a way to win either 6 or 7 and send the Timberwolves packing. But this Mavericks team, it feels like their ceiling is going to the conference finals. But if they find the, like, if it is Nuggets and Mavericks, how much of a chance do I give the Mavericks? Like, I guess I'll give them 20% to win the series. Like, it's still heavily favored in terms of the Denver Nuggets. But if the leg doesn't hold up for Jamal Murray, like, can Nikola Jokic go win that series on his own? Absolutely. But you wonder, even with the great performance last night with Luka Doncic, when you go through a 7-game series and you've seen the ups and downs through this series, what will that be like a series from now, assuming they find a way to get, you know, wrap this series up? Because that's the other thing. This has been this series where whenever you think, and that's how I started the show, whenever you think someone is getting momentum and someone is taking momentum in this NBA postseason, the pendulum swings in the other team's favor. So you would think, right, going back to Dallas after dropping a game on your home court in game 4 when the Mavericks had an opportunity to go up 3-1, you would think that they'll find a way to close this series out in game 6, but I can't say that with great certainty. I can't. I cannot say that with great certainty because in this series, once again, you saw the Mavericks drop game 1, then they win 2 and 3. It probably felt like they should have won game 4, but in the final 6 minutes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and PJ Washington took over, and then boom, in a 2-2 series in game 5, you're on the road in OKC last night, the Mavericks win that one. So I would think that the Mavericks win this series in 6, but if Luka doesn't look right, can the Thunder win? Absolutely, because that's how good SGA is with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And also, let me praise PJ Washington, and he probably won't receive a lot of national praise last night because it was probably his worst performance of the series, where in game 2 he had 29, game 3 he had 27, in game 4 he had 21. Like, statistically last night, PJ Washington didn't have a good game, but that's how it shows you where everything's clicking for him, because even though he only finished with 10 points, he had a big 3 late. Not that I ever thought the game was getting too close. And then he had a thunderous slam dunk off a rebound. So you look at a player like PJ Washington. I know a lot of times with the Mavericks, all we're going to talk about is Luka and Kyrie and coach Jason Kidd, but PJ Washington has had a marvelous series. But I look at the NBA postseason right now, where we currently sit. Knicks and Pacers. Knicks up 3-2. We know the Celtics, they advanced through last night, taking care of the Cavs in 5 games. Back-to-back series to open up the postseason, where the Celtics take down a team in 5 games. On the West side, as I mentioned, you have the Denver Nuggets trying to eliminate the Timberwolves tonight, up 3-2. And now the Mavericks returning home a few days from now to try to take care of business up against Oklahoma City Thunder with them up 3-2. Who's the team in the postseason that you trust the most right now? Because I could say this statement. The Celtics will be in the NBA Finals. But I'm not picking the Celtics to win the NBA Finals. I really did feel going into this round that the winner and whoever prevails to be victorious and maybe gets on the mountain like Johnny Drama and Entourage and screams, "Victory!" That the winner of that series between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets is the team that's going to win the championship. And maybe there would have been a little skepticism if it was Minnesota. And it still can be Minnesota. I don't think it will be. Just because they're still, you know, with Anthony Edwards being a superstar and younger and all that stuff. But with it now looking like it's looking like, and I think it will be Denver, I still got to trust Denver the most. Denver should beat either Oklahoma City or the Mavericks. And if we get to an NBA Finals, and it's not me being disrespectful to the Knicks or the Pacers, The Celtics are by far and away better than the Pacers. If the Knicks were healthy, maybe it's a tighter series. That series could go six. The Knicks are gritty, and I don't like betting against Jalen Brunson right now. But with the uncertainty with the health status of OG Anunoby, it's like, how can you consistently just keep on dealing with these injuries? And Brunson isn't 100% either. So I'll bet on the Celtics to get to the finals. But if you give me an NBA finals, which would be great, of Celtics and Nuggets, Celtics really haven't been tested. The Celtics, we went into this postseason, we looked at the Eastern Conference, and we were like, all right, the Bucks go out, Giannis and Dame aren't healthy. The Heat go out, right? Jimmy Butler barely even played. The Sixers, they go out in round one. Like, even going into the postseason, though, the expectation with how good the Celtics were, like best team in the East by like 15 games in the regular season, that the expectation wasn't just to get to the NBA Finals. It's to win the NBA Finals. And anything short of winning a championship for the Celtics this year is a disaster. It's a failure. This team's always there. Now they have to find a way to win four games and win four games in the NBA Finals. And with it looking like it's going to be Denver, if we're on that collision course of Denver and the Celtics, I'm taking Denver. Because there's a trust factor with Nikola Jokic. They were horrible, horrible in the first two games of this series on their home court. And then Nikola Jokic is like, I don't want to go hang out with my horses yet. I don't want to go home yet. We got some unfinished business to do. And they have smothered the team. That game the other night, Nikola Jokic looked at Rudy Gobert, the defensive player of the year, and said, please, easy work. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be king. So, yes, with the Celtics not being tested yet and really no right to criticize them yet, and I know they lost game two against the Heat. They lost game two also in this previous round against Cleveland. Like, there's not been massive criticism. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but I think it's very tough when you're just coasting through and then you're going up against the best to beat the best. But if they don't do it this year, I don't know how you could believe in this core outside of just age and how young they are that this team is going to win a championship. So the team that I still trust the most in the NBA is Denver. And, you know, after Denver, I guess it would be Boston. Like, I can't see Oklahoma City winning the championship this year. I can't really see the Mavericks win the championship this year. Knicks and Pacers can't see it either. You know, you tell me Minnesota comes back, they win 6-7. Obviously, they could win the championship, but I don't think Denver is dropping back-to-back games after already dropping back-to-back games in games 1 and 2. So who's the team that you trust the most in the NBA postseason? It's still the Denver Nuggets. But, man, this Mavericks-Thunder series has really thrown my brain into a blender. I just have no clue which way this series is going to go. I picked the Mavericks in 7 before the start of the series, but if the Mavericks don't close out game 6, man, it would fit very well into this series because anytime you think a team has momentum, it goes the other way. We'll take a break. When we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, the schedule was released last night in the NFL. I did a comprehensive breakdown earlier this morning. I went week by week, and I picked out 15 games that I think are the 15 best games of the season. I narrowed that list down from 15 to 10. I will give you what I think are the top 10 games of the NFL schedule when we return right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the great Infinity Sports Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So I was looking through the entire schedule today, earlier this AM, and I put 15 games down through the entire schedule, and I said, let's narrow it down to my top 10 NFL games of the season. In at number 10, Steelers at the Broncos, and a good job by the schedule makers making this a week 2 game. You do this game early for one reason and one reason only. Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson will by far and away be the week 1 choice for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Heck, when Kenny Pickett was still there, and I've shared this before on the show, I was told that this isn't going to be a quarterback competition. That they'll say, oh, yeah, it's a quarterback competition. But everyone knew when Russ signed there that he was their guy to start the season. And Kenny Pickett didn't even make it to the start of the season because he went and cried and got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then, boom, Justin Fields comes in. But the Steelers aren't married to Russell Wilson for the entirety of the season. But I don't know how much they love Justin Fields. Because who was it? It was the running back. Jaylen Warren was on that Cam Hayward podcast in person. And he's talking about like how there was a member of the coaching staff saying that Justin Fields could potentially be returning kicks this year. Which, I'll just let you know a little secret. If there is a 1% chance that someone could be a starting quarterback for you, you're not having him returning kicks. You know, the Eagles don't say, we like the new kickoff rules. Let's put Jalen Hurts returning kicks. You know, the Ravens don't say, we like the new kickoff rules. Let's use the speed of Lamar Jackson. You know, Buffalo doesn't say, let's have Josh Allen run through those defenders on a kickoff return. But I thought this was smart early on in the season. Russ going to Denver, where he go get booed. Booed big time. And going up against Sean Payton, who I don't really believe in anymore. And I think his better days are behind him. And please, like every situation is different. For example, I don't think the Patriots should start Drake May week 1. I don't. I think they should throw Jacoby Brissett to the Wolves. A few years ago, I said it would have been an egregious mistake by the Steelers to start Mitch Trubisky week 1. They ended up doing so, and then they quickly turned it over to Kenny Pickett. The Broncos would be making a massive mistake if they don't start Bo Nix to start the season. Like, that week 2 game better be Russell Wilson visiting Bo Nix. So that's in at number 10. In at number 9, I think I'm going to be the first national voice. It sounded very douchey when I said that, by the way. But I think I'm going to be the first national voice to talk about this game in their top 10 games. You remember that Chiefs-Rams crazy game where it was Goff and Mahomes? I think that was that in Mexico City? But that was a wild game. I think this game, Week 10, Monday Night Football, has the potential to be one of those wild games where both teams are in the 40s or the 50s. Dolphins at the Rams, Monday Night Football, is a game that I'm already geeking over. You have Tua Tagovailoa, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, and on the other side with the Rams, you got Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua. That's going to be an awesome game. In at number 8, the Harbaugh Bowl. Week 12, Monday Night Football, starts Thanksgiving week, and it is the Ravens and the Chargers. John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, Monday Night Football to start Thanksgiving week. So that's in at number 7. Oh, no, sorry, that was in at number 8. Because 10, Steelers, Broncos, 9, Dolphins at the Rams, 8, Ravens and Chargers. In at number 7, the Ravens and the Chiefs to open up the season. Rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Now you toss in the debut of King Henry, Derrick Henry, with the Baltimore Ravens, and you get Patrick Mahomes going up against Lamar Jackson. So that's in at number 7, Ravens and Chiefs to open up the season. In at number 6, welcome back to the NFL. To open up the season on Monday Night Football, the New York Jets visiting Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, that's a weird way to market it. Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. I feel like you think of Christian McCaffrey first. So that's in at number 6. In at number 5, a rematch of the NFC Championship game from a year ago. A little bit bizarre that it happens in Week 17, but we've seen before, you know, it was Chiefs and Bengals who have met before in the AFC. They have late season games. I think they played Week 16, Week 17, like 2 years ago. So you give me Lions and 49ers in Week 17. That's a Monday Night Football game, NFC title game rematch. And then in at number 4, Bills at Ravens. This is Week 4, Sunday Night Football. The way that I'm going to look at this game is this game is a battle for who's the third best quarterback in football. Like when I enter this season, assuming everyone's healthy, which is a big assumption, Mahomes is 1, Burrow is 2. I have Josh Allen right now in at 3. Lamar Jackson for me is 4. And then C.J. Stroud is 5. I look at Bills and Ravens early on in the season as an early test for two teams that, with Lamar and Josh Allen, have not got to a Super Bowl. Who could plant that flag in the ground for the third best quarterback in football? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, holy fireworks in that one. Then the last 3 games that I have in terms of my top 10 games of the season, so 3, 2, and 1, all have to feature one team. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a Kansas City Chiefs world, and we're all living in it right now with the back-to-back Super Bowl champs. You got Travis Kelce, you got Patrick Mahomes, and you got Andy Reid. So Steelers and Broncos in at 10, Dolphins and Rams in at 9, Ravens Chargers in at 8, Ravens Chiefs in at 7, Jets at 49ers in at 6, Lions and 49ers in at 5, Bills at Ravens in at 4. So Bengals and Chiefs, Week 2, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, that is always a classic. The Bengals have been the one team to really try to put a dent in the dynasty that is the Kansas City Chiefs. At one point, they beat them 3 straight times in a row, from a regular season game to a conference championship game to a regular season game. Then Mike Hilton decided to run his mouth like a dope and say that we're going to Burrowhead. And Patrick Mahomes, basically on one ankle, still found a way to get the job done. So Bengals and Chiefs, Week 2, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, I think is the third best game of the season. The second best game of the season, Chiefs and 49ers, a Week 7 Super Bowl rematch in Santa Clara. And then in at number 1, this one has been some of the better games that we have seen. And the Buffalo Bills has done a good job up against his team in the regular season, not the postseason, though. It's Chiefs and Bills in Buffalo, Week 11, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. So those are my top 10 games when I looked at the schedule heading into the season. I left out, I saw that the Ravens play the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, supposed to be a lot of fun. A lot of people had, on a lot of these lists that I read, the Jordan Love Packers team going up against Jalen Hurts Week 2 with that game being in Brazil. I'm also very, the AFC North matchups are always great. You give me also in the NFC East, Cowboys, Eagles twice a year, fun. You know, the NFC North matchup that I'm probably most excited for are Packers and Bears this year. But those are just some of the games that really did stand out to me and the top 10 headed into this year. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And Stu, I did a little homework for Stuart Kovacs. And I think Stu would be very impressed with me on this one. And it's not really being impressed with me, because I'm going to be honest, I stole it from another national radio host. I heard Dan Patrick talking about this. I saw it in Awful Announcing right before I got on the air. Did you see the strategic planning for Bills and Chiefs in terms of the significance of that being a Week 11 game? Do you have any? That is a November 17th game. Do you know the extra added significance to this game being in Buffalo?
I do not.
Very surprised. I stump Stu when it comes to his love for Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has a bunch of concerts in November in Toronto, Canada. November 14th, Thursday night. November 15th, Friday night. November 16th, Saturday. No concert on that Sunday. And then back to Toronto on the 21st of November, 22nd of November, 23rd of November. The NFL schedule makers, those dogs, making sure that you're going to get Taylor Swift fresh off a Saturday night concert banger walking into Buffalo for a little Bills and Chiefs to support her mans in Travis Kelce. Because at this state, the fact that they're still actually together, and I said this from the start, that I heard wedding bells early. That's what I was thinking. I'd be very surprised at this point if they break up. Now, I've never thought about this, right? Because I've never been in a position in life to be dating an icon and be dating someone that performs, right, concerts and everything. Could you imagine being the significant other going to a concert? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Travis Kelce loves Taylor Swift's music. But him going, and that's how the whole relationship started, right, with the friendship bracelet and all that stuff. But, like, Travis Kelce at a Taylor Swift concert kind of looks out of place. And he's been touring with her in this offseason, and I've been seeing his dance moves, been very awkward. It'd be like if I ever accomplished my dream of one day dating Beyonce, which I know won't happen because I also equally love Jay-Z. And then if I had to go to a bunch of Beyonce shows, like, yeah, for one or two songs, I'd be dancing, I'd be going nuts. But I don't think I'd be dancing to every single Beyonce song. And I don't think Travis Kelce's dancing to every Taylor Swift song. So I never thought about being the significant other going to a concert. And obviously you love your significant other's music, but it's not like Travis Kelce could go hide. He is a large human being, and there are a lot of girls at these Taylor Swift shows, so he sticks out like a sore thumb. But good job there on the NFL, scheduling around Taylor Swift's Tay-Tay's concert schedule so we could get Bills and Chiefs in Buffalo with her in the building. Pat Boyle is here. By the way, Pat Boyle, what tennis tournament are you watching today?
The Rome Masters.
The Rome Masters.
So it's the second tier. You know, you have the four Grand Slams. Mm-hmm. So this is one tier below that. And the French Open starts in 10 days. So it's like the last big warm-up tournament.
Is that your favorite sport, tennis?
It might be. It's hard to supplant football. Yeah. But in terms because of the amount of tennis I watch and play, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right up there.
Like, when I think of Pat Boyle, I think of a crazy guy going nuts, right? A man's man. You know, my football, my basketball, you know, all that stuff. That's what I think about with how you're a lunatic sometimes on social media. And when I walked into the newsroom today, I was not expecting you to be watching such a professional game and a classy game like tennis. I was very surprised by that.
Yeah, I had the Yankee game on, but it was pretty boring. So then I flipped mm-hmm. it off for some tennis. Yeah. And, you know, it's the opening round of the major. X-Man already posted a 9-under, which you'll hear about in the update very shortly. Mm-hmm. And Scotty's just getting going, but, yeah.
Who's your favorite tennis player these days?
Favorite tennis player?
On the women's side.
On the women's side?
Yeah. I like Sabalenka.
Yeah. It's hard not to say Coco Gauff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's excellent.
Finally won a major, finally won the Grand Slam. Was that last year or 2 years ago? I would say Paula Badosa.
If okay. I'm not going to pretend who that is.
Just a quick Google search and thank me later.
And also, on the men's side, who's your favorite right now?
I like Sinner, who just won his first Grand Slam.
How's Alcaraz been doing this year?
He's been a little banged up. He's hurt right now. He hasn't played in the last couple of tournaments.
You know what?
He hasn't really done anything since he won Wimbledon last year.
And he won the U.S. Open 2 years ago, right?
Correct. 2022. So,
I forget. It was against a former champion. I forget who it was, but he beat him early.
Casper Ruud. Oh, early in that tournament?
Yeah. I forget who it was. But that was the first time I saw him live in person, and that was my biggest takeaway. I'm like, I don't understand how this guy's leg just doesn't have an injury every other day.
Yeah.
With how he moved from one side to the other of the court just so seamlessly. I was waiting for his like ACL or Achilles to just go. Crazy.
Yeah, that's the one thing I worry about with him as Nadal is going to retire after this and then the Olympics, which are also at where they play the French Open. Djokovic looks like maybe he finally is off the cliff here.
By the way, what happened last week? Someone threw a drink?
Somebody threw a bottle at him.
And he went down like as if it was
so dramatic.
And then he wore a helmet the next day.
Yes, like trolling. And then
was he actually that hurt in the moment?
And then got his ass kicked.
He looked like LeBron when there was like a nothing foul. Now, to be fair, you shouldn't be throwing trash at someone.
When it was one of those, what's like the most popular brand of those like titanium water bottles?
Oh, okay.
The silicone coating or whatever.
But
it caught him right in the head. I mean, granted, it was probably very dramatic. But then, yes, he wore the bike helmet as like trolling to sign autographs. Then got his ass kicked.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
How about that? You never think you'd be getting tennis in the first 40
minutes.
You
never know what you get on the Zach Gelb show.
Zach Gelb is flexible. He can adapt.
We open up with golf. We go right into the NBA. We give you a little NFL. We give you some tennis. And there's some that will say, I only talk football. Isn't that amazing?
And by the way, you know another legendary radio voice that you and I think grew up listening to.
Okay.
Who's a big tennis guy.
Oh, Christopher Madlock Russo.
Yes.
How you doing, Pat?
He interviewed Federer.
Federer in studio.
Oh, so jealous,
and
dude.
And Federer, who looks like he could still play. Like, the dude's in incredible shape. He was impressed by the doggy's knowledge.
Doggy's
very impressed.
Doggy alongside me, maybe the two biggest tennis fans on the radio across America.
That's crazy. We got to do a Boyle tennis segment this year. I want live reports from the U.S. Open.
I'm going to be there.
I want some Brian Jones and Greg Giannotti. Used to do like these golf reports with like, what's the story with Anne Liguori? And sometimes they sounded very sexual, I will say. There was like some tension, like sexual tension it felt like between Brian and Anne, just on the air when you heard it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, not in a negative way. It just like seemed like they were hitting on each other during the whole conversation about these golf reports.
I'm going to say this as nicely and as
You know what? No, hold on.
I'm just going to say.
No. I do not feel safe with you continuing this conversation.
I promise you, it's okay.
Okay.
My fingers over to dump on you.
Yeah, please.
I'm just saying, you get those two together, that's a mismatch.
What do you mean by that?
You got Brian Jones and
poor
little Anne Liguori.
I don't know.
It's asking for a call to the hospital.
I just always remember those reports being played in the newsroom. And they just sounded like there was maybe something going on. That's it. All righty. Anyway, we're going to segue out of this segment because I do not trust Pat Boyle to keep this PG-13. And there's a lot of kids in the car right now listening. We'll come on back. We'll talk about Dabo Swinney. Update time first. Here he is, Patty Tennis, Pat Boyle. This portion of the show, the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. This is Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Got a lot going on in the sports world. Coming off last night's Mavericks victory, they're up 3-2 up against the Thunder in that series. You also have, when you look at the PGA Championship that's going on right now, Xander Schauffele with a record-breaking day. He is right now, he shot a 62 to open up the PGA Championship, so he has a three-stroke lead. And obviously, you got the Nuggets going up against the Timberwolves tonight. And you also have the ACC meetings going on right now. I guess all the college football coaches are together at their ACC meetings. And this was Dabo Swinney on why Clemson didn't sign players from the transfer portal.
Well, it wasn't really necessarily like a intentional thing. There's a couple guys we looked at, but, you know, they got to love you too. And honestly, every player is technically a transfer. You know, we just signed a whole class of guys transferring from high school. So we like our guys. We like our starters.
See, this is where I'm conflicted with Dabo. And I've been on this train now for at least 3 years. There was a time when I criticized Dabo Swinney 3 years ago where they had a field day with me on all these Clemson message boards and all the Reddit threads and all that stuff when it came with Dabo Swinney. I think Dabo's biggest flaw is his arrogance. And it's popping up here once again. And this is the struggle when you have an accomplished, established, successful, national championship winning coach. When you ask a coach like that, who isn't that young, right? He's not someone that's like 38, 45. He's 54 years old. He could still go coach if he wants for another 20 years, God bless him. But when you have a coach who in the last 20 years where most of college football was run by Nick Saban, and he took that baton for a few years, coaches like that aren't willing to adapt a lot of times. And when you're not willing to adapt in an era now of transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, it's going to cost you. And Clemson's still good. Clemson's still solid. Clemson could go still win an ACC, even though right now the lead team to me is Florida State. And I hope Florida State opens up a can of whoop-ass this year on Clemson, especially with DJ Uiagalelei transferring to Florida State. So you go through all this. The last 3 years, Clemson hasn't looked like, even though they won an ACC championship, I think, 2 years ago, they haven't been a team where they have met what their standard is. And Dabo, right, he's gone on the radio shows, and he's going, maybe we need to lose again and get people off the bandwagon. But the biggest problem is you're not embracing the new era of college football. Whether you like it or not, and I'm not saying you have to like it, but we all know Dabo Swinney has made a ton of money in this sport. And for him to say his program is built on the name, image, and likeness of God, and then all, and making fun of NIL, and you take no transfer portal people this year, that's a problem. Because this sport right now is dominated by NIL and the transfer portal. Like, you look at a guy like Kalen DeBoer, he's 49 years old. You look at someone like a Dan Lanning as well, who's very young. You know, Dan Lanning is 38. These guys are adapting with the times. And look at what DeBoer was able to do last year at Washington. They went to a national championship game. Dan Lanning had a top 10 program last year. You need to adapt with the times. And the tricky part about this is some people will say, fire Dabo, move on from Dabo. I'm not saying that. You know, I don't think that Clemson job is that attractive, even if it became open. But what Dabo has done at Clemson, don't take anything away from it. He's been miraculous there. However, if you want to get back to winning another national championship, you got to adapt with the times. The old stubborn guy that doesn't figure out how the world is moving and his sport is moving, if he doesn't adapt to that, he's not going to win another national championship. I'm not going to say he's not going to win another college football playoff, because now going from 4 to 12, and who knows, soon it'll be probably like a participation trophy tournament. But he could get into a 12-team playoff. But that's not the Clemson standard. Just get into college football playoff, that doesn't do much. Like, yeah, you go have two losses this year, you'll be in the college football playoff with 12 teams. But that's not what the expectation is for Dabo. And still, like, I saw a top 10 list come out from CBS, ranking the college football coaches. Now with Saban out, Harbaugh out, you know, it's tough to make a top 10 list. Dabo's by far and away still in the top 10. He's still in the top 5 for what he's done. But if he wants to coach and act like a top 5 coach moving forward, not what he did resting on his past, but moving forward, you got to be more open to the transfer portal, and he hasn't done that whatsoever. And now there's a bunch of consistent years of proof with that. The proof's in the pudding, as they like to say. I could go for some pudding. I don't know why. Maybe like I'm going to an airport tonight. For some reason, now I'm craving some pudding. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Brandon Cook's going to join us 2 hours from now at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So he'll stop by. When we do return, we'll do a little overreaction, proper reaction off the NFL schedule release. Coming on back.